Real information, good conversation, unabashedly Wisconsin, you're listening to Up North News.
Hey, feeling good, like I should.
Hey, remember Foxconn? It's still there, still not doing much. And someone who used to work there has one piece of advice for anyone interested in it. Run away. Tammy Baldwin has had to pull back on a bill to codify the rights of same-sex couples to marry. Maybe Ron Johnson's disingenuous flip-flop was the last straw. Wisconsin remains an island as other states legalize marijuana, and there are not many positive signs that the right-wing Republicans running the legislature are willing to change that. Mark Jacob tells us his top 12 reasons for not reelecting Ron Johnson. The Brewers suddenly discover a sense of urgency, and the Packers try to remember the regular season is now underway as they host the Bears on Sunday night. This is Up North News for Friday, September 16th. You have made it to the weekend. Oktoberfest kicks off in several communities today. Susan Lampert-Smith tells us more about some of those ceremonies. I'm Pat Kreitlow. Luke Mathers is here as well. Coming up this hour, Carolyn Fiddler, political editor for Courier Newsroom, helps us wrap up some of the week's big stories. And also, we get to say hello for the first time to our friends in Richland Center as the civic media empire that Luke Mathers and a couple of other people are trying to grow has grown. So congratulations on putting those chips into the table there.
Thanks. Brian Kelly by far needs to receive the largest shout out for it because he is doing the incredible, incredible work to help make these stations possible. I just assist him on the perimeter. So Brian, terrific job. Richland Center, welcome to the network because we are growing and you can hear us. So, and stay tuned for more because there will be more stations unveiled in the coming days and weeks as well. So you want to go to civicmedia.us. That is our website. You can sign up for updates there and you can learn about what we're working on here in Wisconsin and the civic media team.
I didn't want to dwell on the behind the scenes stuff too much with Sarah Godlewski yesterday, but when she joined us to talk about the political action committee that she's forming, regular listeners will know we teased her a few different days and we had to keep pushing it off. And the reason wasn't because of anything that she did, but she was working with paperwork through the Federal Elections Commission and dates weren't always jiving up with, you know, what the potential was supposed to be. Well, the same goes for civic media and the Federal Communications Commission. And again, paperwork and a federal government that covers, 350 million people doesn't always run as quickly as you might expect it to.
Yeah, there's some things that we have to wait for. And it's something where I can now safely say that you don't want to have to file paperwork that you don't want to file. Like, only file the necessary paperwork because there is a lot to be done. And so we're having a lot of fun doing this build out, but it's also a lot of work, and it's been interesting. The FCC, for the most part, I haven't had too many bad interactions yet with the FCC. So
it's okay. They're not listening to us. It's not yet. People think the FCC is like listening to every radio station all the time, but no, it's a lot of work. And by now, we would have loved to have told you, more of the stations that are coming on board. They are coming on board. And as they do, we will welcome each one. So Richland Center, it is great to have you here on what I believe is now WRCE 1450. So thank you so much for being here on your mornings. We hope you really enjoy what we do from 8 to 11. And then there are more shows along this fine civic media network. Some shows on some stations, some shows on all stations, like, the Devil's Advocates, in the late afternoons. Some like us on a couple of stations. Others like As Goes Wisconsin with Kristen Bry on a few different ones. The Chad Holmes program comes up in the later in the mid-afternoon, at least up on Bull Falls Radio in Wausau. So for those, I believe Mr. Mathers here has the guests for both As Goes Wisconsin and Chad Holmes. Or yes, does he?
I do. One updated, so I'm gonna have to pull that one. But as I talk, I'm gonna pull that one. So I'm tap dancing. That's all. For As Goes Wisconsin, which is coming up next, Joe Zepecki, political communication.
The Joe Zepecki, who we just heard from yesterday.
Yes, who was just on your show.
If you missed it, you got to go listen to this with Kristen. Listen to Joe.
So Joe will be joining Kristen at 11 to kick off the show today for As Goes Wisconsin. Kristen will also be joined by Wendy Strout, Mobilizing Equality Voters. And later in her show, she's going to be talking with Libby Ellsworth Cash, I believe is how the last name's pronounced, and Art Heitzer about Mildred Fish Harnack Day, which is today, September 16th. So I don't know a whole lot about that.
What day?
Mildred Fish Harnack Day.
Hmm.
It's today. And if you want to learn more about that, you can tune into As Goes Wisconsin.
I was going to say, I guess consider that a tease because we don't have the answer for you. So you're going to have to tune in and find out.
Yeah. And here on Bull Falls Radio later after Kristen's show wraps up from 2 to 4 p.m., you can check out Chad Holmes on the Chad Holmes Show on Bull Falls Radio. And he's going to be joined by former Wausau mayor and current Marathon County board member, John Robinson.
Love John.
Yeah, around 2:15. So John will be joining Chad on his show this afternoon.
And then there's this guy, Luke Mathers, who when he's done, you know, playing the role of my training wheels, gets to do his own thing with Dueling Tangents. You got a guest or you got a clue what you're going to be doing today?
I want to talk a little bit more about the labor. So I have a feeling I've been kind of pushing that story off after the resolution with the Biden administration seems like it's coming through. I want to get a little bit more into that, though, and the strikes that are going on across the country. So that's kind of the plan.
All right. We'll talk to Carolyn Fiddler after this. You're up north. Sometimes people have nicknames thrust upon them, and other people give themselves their own best nicknames. And it's in that vein that I would like to introduce Walking Violation Carolyn Fiddler, political editorial director for Courier Newsroom, who tried to get our broadcast license yanked, but thankfully we were in commercial as she reacted to current events. So,
for what it's worth, I did know we were in commercial.
Exactly. So, look, any violation you can walk away from is a good thing. How are you?
I'm doing great. I was up late last night finishing up my first This Week in State House Action newsletter for Courier Newsroom. It should be going out today.
Tell us more about that. What is this about? What's it entail? Who's it for?
It's a newsletter I started almost exactly 10 years ago. It hits its 10th anniversary next month somehow. And I've taken breaks in there. I haven't done it like every week for the last 10 years, but many weeks for the last 10 years, I sit down and I write about what's happening in states. It started off as a product just for reporters because I did a turn as communications director at the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. And no one knew back in 2010, 11, 12, what was going on at the state level. So I took it upon myself to sit down once a week and lay out a bunch of interesting things that were happening in the states that people should care about, that these reporters should be writing about. And also understanding that reporters get hundreds of emails every day asking for their attention, I decided I would try to make it fun for them to read. So I end up with a newsletter full of terrible jokes, terrible puns, very much written in my own voice. So sorry. But with a lot of really useful information. And over the years, it's lived just in my email. And then it got like a blogger.com place for it to live. And then it was a Daily Coast for 5 years. And now I'm finally doing it for Courier. And I'm very excited.
I don't know whose fault it is. Is it my fault or your fault? That I mean, this sounds so up my alley that I should have been a subscriber for going on 10 years now. And I'm
You already know everything that's happening in Wisconsin. So,
but I like hearing about some of the other state. And that's part of why I like having you on and Mark Jacob and some of our editors from our other Courier Newsroom outlets is, you know, we are up to our eyeballs in Ron Johnson, Mandela Barnes, Tony Evers, Tim Michaels, and there are still, you know, things that go on. And again, that ridiculous Dr. Oz, John Fetterman race for Senate in Pennsylvania and what have you, that it's good to get that perspective now and then. It's almost a palate cleanser before we have to dive back into Wisconsin politics. So what do you structure the newsletter as, kind of a, you know, top story and then work your way down in terms of what you think is important? Or is it more of a, like an alphabetical roundup by state? How do you tend to structure this?
That's a really great question.
Thanks. That's what I get paid to do.
Yeah, no, it's not, it could be structured a little better. But I structure it actually in terms of, like, sort of, if you want to find something from Wisconsin or Arizona, like, I bold the state name so people know, like, can find it a little more easily. But, like, the order is basically sort of thematic, I guess. It's like a conversation with the people who are reading it, because, again, it was intended for reporters originally. And also, like, real human beings don't have time to just read every newsletter that shows up in their inbox. So I try to make this fun. So this week I start off, you know, griping about how the DNC hasn't given any money to the DLCC, despite the fact that abortion rights, notwithstanding Lindsey Graham's bill, is being decided at the state level.
That's a great point. And before we get to the larger point, we're gonna go take a step back. When you mentioned the DLCC the DNC, we're gonna do the whole alphabet soup right here, yes. Kids. If this will turn off some of you worse than a conversation about, you know, preseason hockey. But
that's a deep,
if you're not
point.
A hockey fan. But if you are following a show like this because you want to know more about politics and policy, you are going to be like, Pat, it's about damn time somebody did this. Let's look at the alphabet soup of the DNC, the DCCC, the DSCC, the DLCC, the DGA. And by the way, all these things can also be said with R to the same extent. And here in Wisconsin, it would be the SSDC and the ADCC. The D in all of these is Democratic, or R as the Republican may be. But for people that think there's just like one Democratic Party and everything flows from the Democratic or the Republican Party, that is so not the case, Carolyn. How can we describe this in a way that will not take the other 39 minutes left in this hour?
Right. Just a list of acronyms sounds like a nightmare scenario, yes, for radio, to be honest. Well, the DNC is the Democratic National Committee, the big umbrella org under which all the other party committees, as they're called, falls. And same for the Republican National Committee, the RNC. And then under that, you have the committees that elect Democrats and Republicans to the U.S. Senate. The committees are responsible for electing folks of each party to the U.S. House.
So that'd be the DSCC for the Democratic Senatorial, mm-hmm, Campaign Committee. And I mention this because you will see these in the fine print on political ads.
Yes.
Again, from the Republicans as well. And then we often just shorten it to DCCC or DTRIP. The Democratic Congressional Campaign Committee is the one for House Democrats. Again, there's one for Republicans. But people have previously heard me say unkind things about the DCCC, and they'll hear it again because I was a congressional candidate at one point, and therefore my loss is never my fault. It's always somebody else's. And so we're going to blame the DCCC for everything that I did wrong.
No, I'll blame Robin Voss. I'll blame Scott Fitzgerald, actually, is who I should blame for that. Yeah.
Yeah, you could. You could. Then there's the DLCC is the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. Again, that is a national view of legislative races in all the states. And then I want to mention the DGA, the Democratic Governors Association. Oh, there's also a Democratic Attorneys General Association.
State.
What's that?
And secretaries of state.
And secretaries of state. Yeah, there's something for everybody here.
True.
When I look back to 2010, the Tea Party year, and when I lost my legislative seat, and when Scott Walker won election the first time, honestly, I think one of the main reasons he won was nothing that he did, because there's nothing special about Scott Walker. But the RGA, the Republican Governors Association, their ads hitting Tom Barrett were just brutal and brutally effective. And so any one of these groups can catch lightning in a bottle, Democrat or Republican. And so when people are giving money either to a candidate, a campaign, their local party, their state party, or some outside group, there's also these other groups that each have their own vested interest in helping Democrats or Republicans to victory.
It's true. And they're all really important and in various ways. And I guess it varies a little from cycle to cycle, but all really good at what they do. They have a lot of experience with this, both on both sides of the aisle, including the Democratic Legislative Campaign Committee. A lot of groups popped up in 2017, right after Trump got elected, trying to reinvent the wheel when it came to state legislative races, because they were convinced that because Democrats were struggling on the state ledge level is because everyone had been doing it wrong. And, you know, Group X and Group Y had figured out how to win state legislative races and just weren't ready for the complexity of everything, including like the fact that DLCC has to deal with 50 different sets of campaign finance laws. Right. All across the country. It's not the DS and the D trip have a much easier road to hoe, for sure. Yes.
Well, and again, it's that level of specialization that's needed because there are 50 different states. And then when you get down to the state level, the state party here is the DPW or the RPW, the Democratic Party of Wisconsin, Republican Party of Wisconsin. And then for the legislative caucuses, I was a member of the SSDC, the State Senate Democratic Committee. And then there was the ADCC, the Assembly Democratic Campaign Committee. And again, two Republican groups for those as well. And then there was every county party, the Chippewa County Democratic Party, the Chippewa County Republican Party, and on it goes. And while on the one hand, this sounds either intimidating or ridiculous, depending both on your point of view, and can totally be both within the same breath often, it also underscores that, look, this is a big country. This is a big state. There is a lot of work to be done. And so for people that want to either get involved in or just support a group, it doesn't mean they just have to send it to like one entity, one Democratic Party or something. There was plenty of times I was fundraising for the SSDC so that we could elect other Democrats to the state Senate around Wisconsin. But if you want to either be a candidate, a volunteer or something, it just goes to underscore there's so many ways for Americans to get off the couch and get involved to some degree in some either generally or specialized.
It's true. Those opportunities were there. And I was griping about a lot of groups who thought they figured out state politics after 2016. But the reality is a lot of good infrastructure building happened at the state and local level after 2016. And that's important. And it's going to help Democrats, especially as they face another crappy decade of redistricting.
Yeah, exactly. So let's set aside all of those various campaign committees, and they, by and large, they are on the campaign side, and look more at the big picture of these races and your newsletter. How much of your newsletter? It's not fair right now because we're in the throes of a campaign.
Yeah.
But how much of it is about the politics campaign side versus the policy activity while they're legislating or considering legislation?
I'm so glad you asked.
Well, thank you.
Honestly, it kind of depends on the time of year. Like in January, it's all policy and politics all the time, because that's when almost every state is back in legislative session. Most sessions start in January and they last through March, April, May, depending on the state. Some states don't even meet every year. They meet every other year. It's bonkers. Some states convene year round. Also bonkers. But like, you know, if it works for your state, great. So right now it's a bit of policy and a bit of politics. And in January, it's going to be mostly, electoral politics, I should say, because a bunch of almost every state legislative chamber is on the ballot this fall. Not everyone, but, most. And, one thing I discovered over the course of the last couple of weeks of doing research around what's happening in states is that a whole bunch of chambers, we already know who's going to control them after election day. We already know who's going to have majority control of those legislative chambers. And that's what counts in a state. Like, you know, number of Republicans, people talk a lot about the number of legislative seats Democrats won and lost in the last decade. It doesn't matter. It's apples and Volvos comparing one legislature in one state to another, because they're all different sizes. The only thing that matters is majority control. And so we already know who's going to control 22 legislative chambers next year. It's wild.
Yeah. Well, but as we talked about with Mark Jacob in our last hour, while we may know control overall at the very individual level, even in a district that is heavily tilted one way or the other, you know, it's Yogi Berra saying it ain't over till it's over. And that
absolutely,
we need people to vote in their individual races, because that one vote has made a difference in more races than we could possibly count. where again, your vote may not necessarily decide who wins the U.S. Senate race, but it may very well decide who, frankly, which ideological side controls your county board or something like that. These all matter.
It's true.
Carolyn Fiddler joins us, editorial director of Courier Newsroom, walking violation in her own words, and also in her own words, could be structured a little better. So we'll we'll continue to explore those shortcomings and more, and look at the headlines of the past week right after this break. You're up north.
Listening to Up North News with Pat Kreitlow.
Now, as you know, there are many ways to take in the show, certainly live on the radio now, Bow Falls Radio in Wausau and WRCE in Richland Center, and a growing network of fine local radio stations across Wisconsin. There's also the TuneIn app or tunein.com. We break this up into a podcast that you can find on Apple, Spotify, and all the other usual podcast places. But you can also catch the video feed live at Bow Falls Radio on both Facebook and Twitter, or you can watch the video feed later on. If you do that, then you catch the chatter and the commercial breaks, and you will realize that we forgot at some point in the last segment to tell people how to actually get to Carolyn's new newsletter, but it hasn't come up yet, which led to an entire discovery of a web of websites that may or may not take you to this newsletter when it's ready to premiere as early as today. So, Carolyn, I'm glad we were able to help you find out that you were almost ghosted by one of your own coworkers setting up alternative websites over here. It sounds very nefarious, actually.
It was just a miscommunication. No big
deal. It's just a little miscommunication. It is, in your own words, could be structured a little better. But it is going to be on Substack, which now this is a terrible thing to say because I love writing the Up North News newsletter. Mm-hmm. I love many other newsletters, but one thing I've never been on with any regularity whatsoever is Substack, which is like apparently the gathering place. It's where all the cool kids go in newsletter world.
Well, too bad. I am not cool. Never have been cool. I'm so sorry.
Oh, please. So this, look, again, I don't want to take anything away from the newsletter we're doing here, but there are so many out there. There's so many I would like to read, and I try to catch up on weekends if I can't get things, you know, on a daily basis. But what about somebody like you? You write one meant for a national audience at the state level. You're taking in news all day long from so many other different feeds. So do you consider yourself much of a newsletter consumer?
Yes, actually. I have to be very judicious about which ones I consume. Mm-hmm. And I know everyone does because there are a bajillion out there and there seem like there are more dropping every day. Mm-hmm. So that's one of the reasons I try to keep it in a conversational tone, just because newsletters can get to be a slog. And not everyone is like super interested in the stuff that's in my newsletter, even though they should be. So I try to make it more accessible.
And voice really is important. We've certainly learned that with ours, is that there are people that really like and appreciate like the bullet points that Axios does in their mm-hmm. newsletters. Others like something that's got a little bit more of a text heavy, you know, storytelling narrative. And so, you know, you find the one that you think works for your audience and just enjoy it. But let's get off of the newsletter structures and types and get into the content itself, because we still really haven't talked about much that's in the news this week. So when your relaunch hits of this newsletter, what are you telling people were one or two of the big stories of the week?
Well, a couple of them I was mentioning before the break about how we know who's going to control 22 chambers right. already before election day, because so many folks on either side of the aisle are just running on a post. It is what it is. It's not mm-hmm. great, but it's hard to recruit people in these super gerrymandered states where it's almost impossible to win. One thing that this round of redistricting did is continue to reduce competitiveness at the state legislative level. Fewer and fewer chambers are competitive.
And that's where I want to say again, God bless the people who, like, we had a couple of candidates on earlier this week. They know that they are in super heavy Republican districts. They're running anyway, A, because, you know, lightning can strike, but B, and this is the far more important reason, is that every extra vote they can attract, even in a losing campaign, could be the difference maker for races at the top of the ticket. And so that's where you really don't want to leave races uncontested. And I know that the whole alphabet soup of groups we talked about in the last segment only has so many resources, but you really have to make careful decisions about whether you should post a candidate anyway, even in a heavily skewed district, or if you really should, because of the value that it brings to the top of the ticket.
Yeah, no, that's true. It's everyone running helps everyone else running. It's just a fact of life.
All right. What else you got in I don't want to call it issue number one, because you've been doing this for 10 years here, but in your next issue.
It's the relaunch.
The relaunch.
Well, let us see. What else do I have? Well,
you know, while you looked that up, when you mentioned relaunch, Grandpa's got a story here. I was mentioning yesterday that I watched a documentary on the 50th anniversary of MASH premiering.
Oh, wow.
Last night, we watched the show that followed it, but we recorded it because it was getting late. It was a retrospective of The Love Boat. And first off, it was 2 hours long, which we were not prepared for, but actually did sit through it all because it was worth it. The Love Boat actually not only got a relaunch, it got a third launch because they saw that there was potential, but they needed to keep tinkering with the casting. And then they finally got, you know, Gavin McLeod to be Captain Steubing, and they got Julie McCoy, Lauren Tweez. And then they were finally ready to go. But the first time around, you know, in the first launch, who the captain was of the Love Boat? Dick Van Patten.
What?
Never would have seen. There were all these other people that looked so strange. They just kind of looked, you know, the way that, in the movie Elf, he looks at the fake Santa Claus and says, you're not real. You're not the real Captain Steubing. You captain a ship of lies. Anyway, so they did a third launch, and then it took off and was running. So in much that same vein, Carolyn, your relaunch is here. You are now with Courier Newsroom, the Captain Steubing of your life. And so what else you got?
Well, I talk about the recent abortion bans that went into effect, got passed this week, and the Indiana ban passed back in August, but it went into effect this week. And the West Virginia ban just passed. And as soon as the governor signs it, which could be today, it will go into effect. And both bans are draconian, almost total.
Okay.
And then there's South Carolina, where they couldn't pass a total ban. They have a 6-week ban that's being held up in court because most people don't even know they're pregnant at 6 weeks. But
well,
whatever.
And this was the one we played the audio. Was it on Monday, I think, of the state senator where she just ripped her fellow Republicans a new one for having no exceptions for rape and incest.
But the bill was held up because of a Republican senator who decided to filibuster it because women have rights too, because he listened to his daughters and that's what they taught him.
I like the air quotes when you said that it's almost like he only just learned this.
Right.
Women have, like, rights too.
He's so close. He's so close.
Man, it is. I should have brought this audio in for Luke, but yesterday it was, I saw a clip from Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez, and they were talking to a witness. I don't remember her name, but she was treated so rudely by a congressman from Louisiana.
Yeah.
And AOC just went on a tear. And the line, of course, that stood out is, you know, when a man will treat a woman that badly in public, I wonder how he treats them in private. And
have to wonder.
No, you don't. Especially watching, I think his name was Clay Higgins. I'm not sure how to spell it. The slime ball is silent, so you don't normally say it, but you can see it in there. And but again, that tells you about the gerrymandering and the condescension that's involved. Luke, you've isolated that for us. He's fast. He's really fast.
I wonder wanted to address Ms. Salter directly. I just want you to know that in the 4 years that I've sat on this committee, I have never seen members of Congress, Republican or Democrat, disrespect a witness in the way that I have seen them disrespect you today. I do not care what party they are in. I've never seen anything like that. And for the gentleman of Louisiana and the comfort that he felt in yelling at you like that, there's more than one way to get a point across. And frankly, men who treat women like that in public, I fear how they treat them in private.
Mayor, well, and there was more to it that I would urge anybody to go see. But what it was a hearing on climate change. And this Representative Clay Higgins, Republican from Louisiana, referred to one of the witnesses, called her young lady, called her boo at one point. And yeah, again, what little bit I saw, he was talking about how petrochemical products are in everything. And he was saying, you know, how would you replace all these things? But he was doing it in such a condescending way. And it, again,
it's up to policymakers to figure that out. I mean, come on.
Yes. Yeah. Fact, go ahead, Luke.
A simple response to that is hemp. If you just refer to most things that are made petrochemicals and plastics, you can find a hemp replacement for them.
That's
so
fascinating.
Yes.
Wow.
It's like one of the things. Like it is insane the amount of industrial applications you could have for hemp if it were to be like scaled up to the level that you would need it to be, but you don't have governments around the country. You'd have to have state governments start, or the federal government declassify it federally, mm-hmm. and then states start investing in it. But hemp would mm-hmm. replace a lot of plastics.
Well, that gets us to what we were talking about at the end of our last hour about legalizing marijuana to different levels in the states. And Carolyn, I would imagine if not in a past newsletter, maybe somewhere down the road would be, again, this state by state tracking of here are the states that have embraced hemp, you know, to this degree or another. Again, knowing full well they have to figure out, you know, cannabis laws and everything else. It doesn't always have to be, you know, the usual issues of, you know, taxes and immigration and all that. All those things are important. But if you're in a state legislature, there's all these other issues that are worthy of study and change so that you can improve lives in your state.
It's true. And no level of office has more direct impact on people's lives than state legislators. So
I said that. Well, yeah, we talked about that earlier. Once you recognize that, you never look at federal politics the same way. You understand the important role of state legislatures and, you know, who the governors are and how they matter as well. So we're not going to go state by state through all the various races this time around. There's many out there. Of course, we talked about Pennsylvania, Michigan, Arizona, all in the past. Of those states or others, any I don't want to say highlights because I don't want this to sound like sports, but anything from any of the other states this week that you took a special note of and you think is worth passing along?
Well, I'm a little reluctant to because it's like really, really weedy. But speaking of down ballot elections that are very important, a lot of states elect their state Supreme Court candidates, Supreme Court justices, including North Carolina. And right now, Democrats have a very slim 4-3 majority on the North Carolina State Supreme Court. And that Democratic majority has helped preserve a lot of rights that the Republican-controlled legislature has been trying to erode and destroy for years. It wasn't until last time around that Democrats were able to break the GOP's veto-proof majorities in the North Carolina legislature. So a lot of times, only the state Supreme Court could block a lot of stuff that Republicans wanted to do that was in violation of the state constitution. So there was a decision back at the back half of last month. The state Supreme Court ruled that these two constitutional amendments that had made it to the ballot a few years ago shouldn't have made it, because they made it to the ballot on a very thin supermajority vote after legislative districts in North Carolina had been declared unconstitutional because they were racially gerrymandered. If they hadn't had those extra seats through the racial gerrymander, they could have had enough votes to put it on the ballot, so voters couldn't have voted on it, and it wouldn't have become part of the state constitution. So, it's complicated.
No, but it again underscores, you know, what state Supreme Court races have become and how far we have fallen in Wisconsin in particular, and the work that we have to do to get that all back into play. More about this next time, Carolyn. Thank you so much for being our favorite walking violation and for letting us keep our license for at least one more week.
Thank you for having me. I appreciate it.
Have a great weekend. We will wrap up the show after this. You're up north.
Minnesota, once again, here's Pat Kreitlow.
All right, let's move ourselves into the weekend here by noting, first off, for all the talk we did about Carolyn's newsletter, we still never did tell you where to find it because it hasn't gone live yet. So we're going to tell you, but you won't find it there. Yeah. She said it's going to be called the... Yes.
But you can subscribe, and I signed up to subscribe during that last
Well, see, that, hey, I've got that on my screen as well. The problem was it's called This Week in State House Action. And so, like she said, a coworker also signed. So they actually have This Week in State House Action and State House Action. And they've decided it's going to be the latter. State House Action, all one word, statehouseaction.substack.com. One more time, statehouseaction.substack.com is where you will find Carolyn. And I really hope for Carolyn's sake, I don't think this newsletter is aimed toward children. And since we clearly don't want her to exercise any demons here on the radio, I hope she drops F-bombs all over that newsletter. I really do. I'm sure she won't because it's a Courier newsroom product and we are a family, you know, organization. But how great would it be? How about two newsletters? One that's like rated NC-17 or something like that. We could use that.
That would be a good one. That's a terrific idea because we've always considered the Devils have always wanted to do, the Devils Advocates, Mike and Dom, wanted to do like a more PG-13 and R-rated version of their show from time to time, which they put up on Patreon. So, but it's always very careful because you can't use those files on broadcast then. So you have to be careful on our ends.
You think you'll always stay on the right side of the line, but you know, once you've gotten a taste of it one way, you know, will you always remember? I was always as a TV anchor for all those years. I mean, I was so well trained. I would still consider myself well trained. If there is a microphone anywhere nearby, I don't need the red light to be on. If I know there's a microphone nearby, I'm going to watch my language. You're just so trained that way. But now the microphones are everywhere. They don't look like microphones. It's your cell phone. It's your Alexa. Your microwave oven is listening to you now. Your washer and dryer that you don't use is listening to you. It's talking to you. It's saying, Luke, use me. Put the soap in the right place.
I do use it. I mess up sometimes.
Next week on the program, Dan Schaefer, our friend from the recombobulation area,
who will
join us to talk
about Substack as well.
Is Dan on? Oh, yes, Dan is. I get it by email, so I don't think about the Substack part of it.
To be fair, when you said that you don't mess around with Substack, I was like, wait, how do you get Dan's information? Are you just following him on Twitter? But
I'm just following him on Twitter, except he'll put a link to it in Twitter occasionally, and then I'll read it, and I will always have the same reaction. It's like, dang, I wish I was that talented, and B, where does he find the time to do all this? And you know, it's the same feeling I get with Kristen Bry. I'm like, dang, how can I be that talented, and where do you find the time? And of course, they and the others would all be like, Kreitlow, we don't do anything different. We're just better than you, you know, because they are. And let's just call it like it is. So, which is why I'm, you know, here with you in the late mornings. And they have millions upon millions of followers that they rightly deserve. If you want to tell me I'm wrong or ask the bosses to fire me, here's our email address, radio@upnorthnewswi.com. And again, our website, upnorthnewswi.com, is where you can click on newsletter if you still care to at this point and sign up. but I was, we were talking in the commercial break with Carolyn about newsletters and doing different things with them, because again, you can have different voice, you can have different writing styles. And we have been talking at Up North News about, you know, maybe we're ready to branch off into, you know, a second newsletter. We've actually been talking since 3 years ago when we first were getting set to sign on that we might want multiple newsletters. There might be one that's geared more toward a particular issue, or it's geared more toward, you know, say a female audience, you know, and your followings, you're still doing the top of the news on all of them, but then you're getting more specialized in them. So in our early editions of the newsletter, I would put in, you know, sports stories about the Brewers and, you know, the Packers, and was told people that are reading a newsletter for mostly politics and policy, you don't need to put the sports in, but then other people miss it. So yeah, we might look into doing that. I'm now thinking that the civic media empire is going to require its own newsletter, and that Luke and I are going to have one hell of a column at some point here. So
I would look forward to that.
It would start with laundry tips and recipes for zucchini. I mean, the one thing it can't talk about any of the serious topics that we do on the show, because we cover enough of that here for 3 hours, and then you do another hour in the afternoon. So it's got to be the stuff that our radio bosses would say, please don't talk about on the radio. And yet our listeners would be like, oh, I'm going to read that. I cannot believe he mixed, you know, zucchini chips and kale and, you know, created, you know, keep a Halloween kale, candy treat.
Keep your kale out of my zucchini. See, this is you just trying to bring zucchini down.
I don't think I really have to work that hard to do it, but, you know, be that as it may. It's going to be a mostly quiet weekend here on Lake Wissota. I did say that Chippewa Falls Oktoberfest gets underway at noon down at the Leinenkugel Brewery, which is just down the hill from the Northern Wisconsin State Fairgrounds. So first at the brewery, they have the tapping of the golden keg. I'm not going to say anything more about that. They tap the golden keg, and then they have a procession with that keg of Oktoberfest beer up the hill to the fairgrounds, and then, you know, kick off a couple of days of polkas and waltzes and schottisches and everything else. And then, of course, all the German food and the beer and everything else. Luke, you got anything reasonably close to that this weekend for you?
Well, I hear that Ron DeSantis and Tim Michaels and Ron Johnson are all going to be in town in Green Bay. So maybe I'll go up there and check that out.
That's right.
I'm just kidding. I'm not going to that.
No, but I mean, that's right, that we did not even talk about how these out-of-state people, and I'm lumping Tim Michaels in there. Look, if you'd have told me they planned a rally for Green Bay 2 hours before a Packer game, I'd believe you, because then you wanted people to stop in and whatnot, and then maybe they'd go to the game. The fact that you planned your rally for somewhere away from the stadium, but 1 hour before a Packer game, I mean, that's Dr. Oz level of, I'm not really from this state. And for Tim Michaels to do that and to bring in the Florida governor and everything else is just, I don't know that you can buy a bigger box of cluelessness, no matter what outlet store you're going to.
They just want the creme de la creme of MAGA supporters. They don't want any Packer fans there. They want just the MAGA supporters that will choose that over everything else, because that's the only thing that makes sense to me, Pat. I don't know why else you would try to counter program the Green Bay Packers on Sunday Night Football in Wisconsin.
Against the Bears.
It's Bears week.
I mean, I can't even make a joke that the only people there will be Bears fans, because the Bears fans will actually be at Lambeau as well, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
I'm not even going to say I'm curious to see who'll be there, because I've seen those skits on The Daily Show. I know the people that will be there, and I hope they have a good time and drive safely, and we'll leave it at that. Thank you, everybody, for your time this week. If given permission, I will do it again come first thing Monday. Have a great weekend. See you then.